We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Hey there, and welcome to Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young. Oh gosh, I can't tell you how much fun we've had this past week, but I will. Anyway, we're going to be discussing all things regarding renovation, whether it's either the 203K or the Homestyle Renovation Mortgage, just to name two of the nine that exist. If you're not doing consultations for all nine of them, you may be missing some work out there that you could be doing. So keep that in mind. Maybe you'd need a different person training you. Anyway, so notice that our application, our app for 203K property inspections was not up recently. So we started looking into it and found out that I'd closed a bank account that I had the money going to. So thank you for those who've purchased it. And it's back up at the App Store. We fixed the problem. So, but this application for 203K Consultants is super for doing your home inspection, the required property inspection / with a disclaimer, this is not a home inspection. Okay, because that's what HUD required us to be home inspectors and do this report. And then they require us to disclaim it as not a home inspection. In their infinite wisdom, they say, do this and then do it a certain way. And by golly, we're in violation of the home inspection process in every state. So lordy, 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 let's disclaim it and let's make it okay. You could have made it okay by not requiring that in the first place. In any case, the benefit to the lender, consistent home inspection reports that satisfy the 203K for underwriting purposes. Benefits the inspector. Once you fill in the check boxes and print the report, the job is pretty much finished. You can send it back to your office, and it'll be there when you get back there to write your bid specifications. You merely need to write the bid specs once you get back to your office. Secondly, we've added a 442 compliance inspection report, a CIR. It's in the app. It's called 203K Online Compliance Inspection Report at the Play Store. It's only for Androids at this point. And appraisers have had the lock on these inspections for years, and a couple of years ago they were deregulated so that anybody that's qualified and can fill out the form can do the reports. And you guys are qualified. Okay, you can do these reports. And if you'd like to know, you want to be part of the show, ask me a question. How do they get involved in that? I'll be happy to do that and tell you. So anyway, while most 203Ks and other type renovation projects go off without a hitch, from time to time, you as the homeowner or the consultant may find yourself with nobody to talk to you on your side of the equation that knows the 203K program inside and out. If you have a problem with your renovation project and you don't mind discussing it on live radio, please call in. Did I say live radio? We're now live streaming on 97 networks, including iHeartRadio. Okay, so if you want to do it privately, though, we have a website called 203k911.com. Get in there, hit the contact button or contact us button, and tell us all about your project so we understand where your issues are generated. And then we'll set up a time that we can get together on the phone and walk through these issues, see if we can't help you figure them out. There seems to be a great deal of consultants thinking there's too many consultants out there and not enough work I can't tell you that's farther from the truth. The more consultants that work an area, the more work we all do. Okay, and that's just a phenomenon that happens. If you're trying to hoard the work for you, you're not going to get as much work as you hoped. But if you have a lot of consultants pushing the product, even if they're pushing it to the same people, you're going to find that more people start getting involved. They realize this must be a good thing. So they start working on it. Also made a law offer on the show before last, or maybe two shows before last, when I was leaving on vacation. For any consultant that wants more work, get on our referral list and be a referral partner. Not one single person responded to that. So if you're looking for more work, then get on our referral list, for God's sake. I don't understand why you would not want to be on that list if you're looking for more work. It's just another avenue for greasing the skids, get you some more work. So let's see what's in store for us today. I was just looking on LinkedIn and saw a comment. An appraiser called out handrails on a porch, on a front porch. The house looks to be probably 60, 70 years old. So this front porch has been without a handrail all those years. But gee, the rules change from time to time. There's four steps. Okay. There's two rules that enter here. One is, the three-step rule, if there's more than three steps, you need a handrail. The second rule is, if the ground level is less than 30 inches from the step you're standing on, you don't need a handrail. And looking at the picture, I don't know. It may not need a handrail because of the wide arms on the side of the porch, making it less than 30 inches. It doesn't drop off. It actually steps up. So that's a call that the appraiser has to make. And for you consultants that want to know why in the world is the appraiser sticking his nose in, this is probably not a 203K. It's likely a 203B, which is the standard FHA loan. And as a former appraiser, it's their responsibility to call out what they think are health and safety issues. Now, with that picture, the underwriter can override it if they want, override that decision and say, no, it's not required. But if it happens that they do want to get that porch in there or the handrail in there, at some point they're going to be ordering a 442 inspection or a compliance inspection report. That app I was just telling you about also has a compliance inspection report form in it. And you can handwrite it in the field. And when I say handwrite it, you click in an area, hit the little microphone on your keyboard, and speak into it as it types what you're saying. That's pretty cool. And that's the way the entire property inspection works as well. These are pretty common solutions to old problems. So you don't have to type with one finger. You can actually hit that microphone and speak into the program or into the app, and it will type for you. But appraisers are required to call out health and safety issues as each of them understands the minimum property standards. So don't go come off on the appraiser like, well, what do they have to say about it? Because they have everything to say about it. And if you don't call something and they think it's a issue, the guideline used to say they're supposed to call you and tell you so you can add it to your scope of work. But nobody does. So they'll just call it out and make you look like a fool for missing it. So be careful. Don't miss them. Don't miss any of those things. Now, last week we had a guest called in and he was talking about the EEM or the energy efficient mortgage. Where I've used this EEM in most places is to save loans or to help me get the money I need to make this thing happen. Sometimes the 203Ks are very close to qualifying. So we got to be careful there. You want to look these items over. If there's a lot of energy efficient items going in, you could get up to another 5% for the client, and that might be the difference in making this fly versus having it fail. So don't let it fail. If you have any questions at the time and you got a deal that's failing because the ratios are just too tight, call me. Feel free to call me, even if we didn't train you, and talk about it. What people are finding over the years is that I help everybody, even if they aren't on our team. If you need help, then, you know, ask. Pick the phone up and call me. Do not, whatever you do, do not send me an email and ask me to call you. That would probably not get a response, at least not a happy one. I probably get 30 calls a week that ask me to call. Hey, Mike, here's an email. Call me back anytime it's favorable to you. Well, that's not favorable to me to stop everything I'm doing, look up your phone number because you forgot to put it in the email, dial it, wait for it to ring 3 times, wait for you not to pick it up, and I got to listen to your machine. Do me a favor. Just pick the phone up and call me. And don't call me during the radio show, please, except on air. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. That number you can call during the radio show. Not a problem at all. Let's see. Last week we had a consultant ask, how could we remove the contingency reserve on our software? Number one, I don't know why you'd want to do that. Contingency reserve is almost always used. So why would you want to get rid of it? However, because limited 203Ks don't always require a contingency reserve, we have built it into our software for the last 15 years. All you have to do is go to the configuration tab, open that project, go to the configuration tab, which is all the way to the right, and check limited 203K. And if you have an older version of our software, it's called Streamlined K. Click that button, save it. Now go to the MMW, which for those of you who aren't involved in that, it's the Maximum Mortgage Worksheet. And that's where you select the percent of the contingency. Once it's checked as a limited 203K, you can check the zero box. Excuse me, lunch was very good. So you can check the box for zero contingency. If you do that, I would recommend heartily that it's because your lender told you to. And in the work write-up, second paragraph, I would put in there, the lender has asked me to reduce the contingency to zero. Because if I, as a consultant, did that, I would be remiss. So I would say, hey, guys, I'm doing this, but I'm doing it because the lender requested it. It's the lender's money they're loaning, so they can do it. But I'm telling you right now that if you don't have a contingency and you need it, the guy's not going to have it. The borrower's not going to have it. So who's going to do that extra work? Now, I have a solution for that, too, but I'm not going to tell you today. You have to call. So it can be done. Ask him why he was wanting to do this, and he said the lender told him to do it. So that's perfectly okay. If you want to be part of the show today, feel free to call us at 888-627-6008. Can't read my own typing. We'll be right back after this short break, so stay tuned with us.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Yahoo! Hey, we're going to continue where we left off last week on the rehabilitation loan agreement. We were going over these contracts. These contracts are not necessarily anything that most consultants ever concern themselves with. Some lenders like Freedom Mortgage don't even want us doing this. But from day one, we found out that lenders were not doing their part. They were not providing this information in a timely fashion to the borrowers. So the borrowers weren't getting the information, and that caused headaches for us as consultants. So we've always incorporated that as part of our consultation. A consultation is more than a bid specification of repairs. Wow. It really is. So one of the things we do is we go over this rehabilitation loan agreement. Item number 7 on that agreement says changes in the architectural exhibits. Now, everybody listening is architectural. Well, we're not doing a room addition. There's no architectural drawings. Well, we don't have to be drawings, but changes in the architectural exhibits, which actually means changes to the scope of work, must be approved in writing by the HUD, which is you, the consultant, or the underwriter prior to beginning of that work. And consultants, as inspectors, we can only pay for that work when it's 100% complete. So it's not like a draw request where you can pay a percentage of completion. A draw might include 50% for one item and 30% for another, 10% for 5 other items. But for a change order, they must be 100% complete before you turn them in for money. Item number 8 of that rehabilitation loan agreement states borrower will cause all improvements to be made in a workmanlike manner and in accordance with all applicable statutes and regulations, i.e. permits, building regulations, all licenses, permits, and privileges required by local governmental authorities to rehabilitate this property will be obtained by the borrower or his or her contractor. So it's up to the borrower. These are responsibilities of the borrower. Why do you think as an inspector I teach the borrower this? I want them to know it. I give them these papers, these pages, as part of my consultation so they know it's their responsibility. Nobody else's. It's your responsibility. So don't come crying to me and say, well, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. I thought you were my consultant and you would do those things. We hear that periodically. And then I bring them back to this piece of paper and I said, look at that page and that number article. You must do that. The next item down here, item 13, says the borrower shall cause the work to begin within 30 days following the date of the agreement. So we explain as our part of our consultation, Mr. Borrower, it's your responsibility to let the contractor know your loan is closed. It's been a couple of years ago, maybe 4 or 5. I got a phone call from an irate borrower. Mr. Young, nobody has gotten out here to start my job and the loan closed 45 days ago. Just what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm not going to do anything about it. If you ask me nicely, I might, but you can stuff that in your coat pocket because I ain't going to go for it. The borrower is responsible to let the contractor know the loan closed. Remember, the consultant doesn't know when the loan closes, and either does the contractor. So here the loan closes, And nobody tells the contractor, nobody tells the consultant slash inspector, but the inspector is expected to know that the loan closed and he's expected to call. No, he is not. The borrower is expected to contact the contractor and contact the consultant slash inspector and say, hey, my loan closed. When they do that to me, many of the banks, Homebridge, I think even Freedom sends out a nice welcoming letter. And many do. Don't get me wrong. Many do. And in that welcoming letter, they say, hi, I'm your welcome to our draw system. I'll be your draw coordinator. The loan closed and the work can now commence. And quite often that's sent to the contractor too. But it is sent to the consultant as well. And we love it. And we can tell those are the lenders that have fewer problems with their 203Ks. So work shall be performed with reasonable diligence. Therefore, work is never to cease for more than 30 consecutive days. Should the borrower fail to comply with the terms, the lender may refuse to make further payments under this agreement. Any funds remaining shall be applied as a prepayment to the mortgage and closed out, and the money to do that job are gone. They paid them down on your mortgage. And it's no one's fault but yours as the borrower. So, Mr. and Mrs. Borrower, if you're out there and you're having problem 203K, don't wait till it's a big problem. Immediately, give me a call. Give us a call, any of our direct phone lines. But you can try us at 916-758-1809. That's always a good one. That's my cell phone. So when I answer the phone, you hear a man's voice. You don't even need to bother. Is this Mike? Is Mike Young there? Don't do it. You don't need to. Just talk to me. It's my cell phone. Anyway, in the event of any stop notices to withhold, mechanics liens or claims of lien, if they're filed against the property, the lender, after 5 days notice to the undersigned of its intention to do so, may pay any or all such liens or may contest the validity of them. So if you get a lien, the first thing as a homeowner I want you to do, regardless of who your inspector is contact the lender and say, do not pay my lien. We're contesting it. And get a hold of your consultant slash inspector. Remember, the consultant is only a consultant until the loan closes. Then they are a HUD-approved inspector. And they're there to look at the work to see that it's done in a professional and workmanlike manner. Nothing more. They are not your advocate. They may have been while they were a consultant, but that's over. Now they work for the lender slash HUD. And they're there to make sure that the work is done in a professional and workmanlike manner. They are not the homeowner's personal kicking stone or punching bag. Okay, so just be aware of that. And if you have that happen, you get a lien placed on your building, give me a call. Let's talk about it before you go. Don't let that lender pay it off. We had two of them last year, or I think a year, one of them might have been a year and a half ago, but the work did not get done. And the contractor was fined. So the contractor put in a mechanics lien on the property for all of the remaining money in his contract. All of the remaining money, even though he hadn't done the work. Lender paid him. Lender got nervous and under this provision paid off that lien to get rid of it. Well, as soon as I heard about the lien, I sent a notice to the lender and said, hey, don't pay that. He didn't do the work. Oh, my God, we've already paid it. I said, well, fine. You paid it out of your money and not the homeowners. We're getting another contractor and he'll finish the job. We need the money to pay the contractor that's doing the job now. The other guy was fired. You should have contacted the borrower or me before you just went off and paid this lean. Leans are not necessarily a bad thing, but for that lean to be valid, they have to perfect it. So don't get scared if you get a lien placed on your property. Get smart instead. Give me a call and let's go over what happens. Call a lawyer. Ask him what happens. Now I got a lien placed against my property. What you're going to find is that lien has to be perfected. Now, I'm very proficient in liens in California. But I took a class on it in California for that. But I'm understanding that they work pretty much the same everywhere. If they're not perfected, they're not a lien. So in this one case, the guy was suing for $57,000. And he had contingency already earned of about $30,000. Excuse me. Couldn't have been that much. Yeah, he had about that much. Wow. So it was about $80,000. As I recall. Anyway, by not paying the lien and waiting, I told the homeowner, I said, let's do this. Let's just wait. And he's got 90 days to get you in front of a judge under California lien law. And that's why you may need an attorney in your state. California lien law says he has 90 days to get you in front of a judge. And if he fails to do that, he has just lost all lien rights. So what happens? The 90 days expires. The homeowner calls me and said that he never took me to court, never got me in front of a judge. I said, fantastic. You own the $57,000. You don't owe it to him, and you don't owe him his holdback. You don't owe him any more money. He's lost all lien rights. So a couple days go by when the contractor said, well, when am I going to get my money? And the homeowner told him he wasn't going to get it, that he lost his lien rights by not perfecting his lien. So, of course, the contractor runs out to an attorney, and the attorney fills out paperwork and sends it off to the homeowner. And the homeowner calls me again. He says, I got this letter from his attorney. I said, well, you can have your attorney write him a answer, or you can write him an answer and just explain to him that he failed to perfect his loan. And or his lien, and he lost his lien rights. And the lawyer for the contractor tried to intimidate him. So I said, go ahead and hire a lawyer. He can't intimidate another lawyer, and he can't intimidate me because I'm not involved in that end of it. But he did win that deal. And the other guy, where the lender had paid the other people off, they put their money up. And they had to go sue that contractor to get their money back because he didn't do everything that he was supposed to. And he was legally fired from the job and had no money coming to him. So, but don't let your lender jump off and pay these things prematurely. Give it a chance to age a little bit and let's see what's going to happen. And if you get sued and you get in front of a lawyer, he has 90 days to get you in front of a lawyer. So if he goes down and files it on the 80th day, that's not good enough unless he can get you in front of an attorney in the, if he can get you in front of a judge in 10 days, that's great. But if that is set for 30 days out, he's just lost his lien rights. He had 90 days to get you in front of a judge, not a lawyer, but in front of a judge. So, okay, where were we? Next agreement we're going to look at is the homeowner-contractor agreement. Each contractor should also use their own contract valid per their state regulations. But also, HUD asked us years ago to also include their contract because if HUD ever has to step in and assist the borrower, they know their contract inside out. It only meets federal requirements, however, and that's why the contractor should use his own state-approved contract as well. Years ago, we had an issue with a contractor in California. I guess it was about 3 or 4 years ago. And the contractor licensing board fined the contractor for only using the federal contract, and it didn't meet some of California's requirements. such as a 3-day rescission period and so forth. Didn't mean he didn't have those things. He did. But the state requires you to notify the client. They have 3 days to change their mind on that contract. The work shall begin within 30 days of closing the loan. And I see Doug is waving frantically at me. We're at the top. Time for a break. So we will take a break. If you want to be part of the show when we come back, call us at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after a short break, so stay tuned.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Hey, we're back. If you want to be part of the show, please call us at 888-627-6008. We were talking about the homeowner contractor agreement and why it's important to use your state contract or the contractor's own contract as well. HUD guarantees that any place that these two contracts conflict, that the HUD contract will override theirs. It was funny. I had a contractor a number of years ago say, I paid over $100,000 to have this ironclad contract written. I said, then you won't mind signing ours too if yours is so darn good. Oh, well, we don't need it. We can use mine. And I said, no, well, if you want to get this job off the ground, you'll sign the HUD approved one too. And he finally did. So, but we're not, as I told you before, we're not going to go over each and every line of this agreement or any other one. But it's important to know some of the things that are in these agreements. But one, time, it's number 8 in the HUD approved contract, and that is with respect to the scheduled completion of this work. Time is of the essence. If this contractor is delayed at any time in the progress of the work by change orders, fire, labor disputes, acts of God, or any other causes beyond the contractor's control, the completion schedule for the work or affected parts of the work may be extended by the same amount of time caused by the delay. The contractor must begin work no later than 30 days after the loan closes. Okay, I'm going to step out of this for just a second and remind you, the borrower was the only one, and their agent, and the loan, the lender, they're in the loop. They know when those papers were signed and when that loan closed. The title company or the lawyer, depending on what state you're working in, knows when the loan closed, but the contractor doesn't. And if he's required to start work within 30 days of the loan closing, someone needs to tell him or her that the loan has closed. You need to set up an appointment, go out, talk to the homeowner, and lay out a plan for getting this job done. It's extremely important that we do that. Another thing is, he cannot stop work for more than 30 days for any reason. So you need to have somebody out there on the job getting something done regularly. I think I talked about this a couple of shows ago, but we had a job and I told them it's 90 day max. I mean, it's a 60 day job. I'll give you an extra 30 day cushion. So let's get this job done. You've got 90 days. And after 90 days, they took the toilet out of the master bathroom or the hall bathroom upstairs. They took the toilet out, set it on a piece of cardboard in the hallway upstairs, blocking the hallway, making the bathroom unusable. And their plan was to come back in the fifth month and knock this out. This is only a 30-day job. Okay, so make it the first 30 days, not. And I told you you had 3 months. And they said, well, the lender told us in a letter that we had up to 6 months. So we're going to set it back and we'll get to it when we can sometime around the fifth month. No, that's not what the intent was. The intent was that you had to start work no later than 30 days after it closed. The lender didn't tell them that. They just extended the closing to the work time schedule to 6 months because they're reading right out of the guideline. But for your lenders that are listening, it isn't 6 months on every job. It's up to 6 months, and your inspector, your consultant will tell you what that number is. So don't send that blanket letter out with a number of six in there unless, in fact, it's a $100,000 project or greater, because it probably won't need it. A friend of mine just built his house. He just built a house from the ground up. It took 4 months. 4 months to build an entire house from the ground up, from scraping the ground and laying the foundation and putting the plumbing from the street to the house. So it doesn't take 6 months to do a renovation job. If the contractor's got any kind of management skills, he can do these things in 3 or 4 months, most any size. Now, I've got a $550,000 or $529,000 rehab job we're working on, and that one's going to take 6 months. But most of them are not. They're $50,000 projects or $30,000 projects, and they can be done in a month or two. I throw an extra month in there to give them a little leeway, but I'm beginning to think I shouldn't even do that. Let them get an extension if they need to. But let's put the fire to the contractor's feet to get these jobs done in a timely fashion. So then there's another section called payments and completion. Payments may be withheld for defective work not remedied. Failure of a contractor to make proper payments to subcontractors. That's another thing. Every once in a while, there's a pretty good sized job and the plumber may be getting $30,000 or $40,000, or the electrician, and they file what's called a pre-lien notice. Boy, the lenders panic. They see that pre-lien notice and they read lien, and that's all they read. So they're talking already about paying that guy off. Stop. It's not a lien. It is a pre-lien notice. It just says the contractor, by the way, does not need to file a pre-lien notice. He can do a lien anytime that he's not paid. But subcontractors, if they're doing business the way they should be, it's only good business for them to file a pre-lien notice when they put material and labor on that job the first day. They file a pre-lien notice, let you know that if I don't get paid, I will lien this property. And then we got to get lien waivers from them when they do get paid. So lenders out there, don't just jump off the bridge and say, hey, we're going to pay this lien, when it's not a lien at all. It's just a pre-lien notice. Legal claims. They don't have to pay. If there's any legal claims between you and the contractor, or the borrower and the contractor, the lender doesn't have to make any more payments to you, which may compound your problem. It's best to work these things out. If you have an issue, talk to your inspector. I can't tell you how many times I've told a contractor, this is not acceptable, it must be fixed. And the contractor argues with me and says, hey, that's good enough, pay me. And we just line it out and don't pay it short. He says, we seem to be short. And I said, is it exactly the amount of that thing I told you to fix? Yeah, it is, now that you mention it. I said, well, until it's fixed, you ain't getting paid for it. All right, Jones, get over there and fix that darn thing. Do it over again. And that's what happens. Eventually, they get the message. If they know they're not going to get paid, they do the work. Lien holdback is great because of that, too. We had one guy that wasn't going to put a last piece of trim on a door. He said, but send me my holdback. And I said, the holdback's $6,000. That trim piece He says, that trim piece is only worth about $50 total, labor and materials. And I said, great. It's worth $6,000 to me. In other words, you're not going to get your holdback till the job's done. That's what holdback is all about. So, another item, protection of property and person. Contractor is responsible for initiating, maintaining, and supervising all necessary or required safety programs. Okay. The contractor must comply with applicable laws, regulations, ordinance. If you're involved with OSHA, all their own requirements. The contractor will indemnify the owner for all property loss or damage to the owner caused by his or her employees. Well, that's great. This is in the homeowner contractor agreement. That's why you have to be sure that they use the HUD approved contract. Insurance. The contractor will purchase and maintain such insurance necessary to protect from claims under workers' compensation and any other damage to the owner's property resulting from the contract, from the conduct of this contract. Okay. Changes in the contract. The owner may order changes, additions, or modifications without invalidating the contract. Such changes must be in writing and signed by the owner and accepted by the lender. Not all change order requests may be accepted by the lender. Therefore, the contractor proceeds at their own risk if work is completed without an acceptable change order. Ta-da. That is major, because I go out there, and I'm sure the rest of the consultants all have a similar story. We go out to the job and they say, oh, by the way, we did this change over here and we'd like to get paid for it. Well, that's nice. Want in this hand and crap in this hand and see which one fills up first. That's what I'd like to tell them. But I'm usually not that crude on the job site. So what do? We explain to them. We bring this contract out and says, you know what? You told it. We may not pay stuff that's not approved in writing in advance. The way you do that is to provide an estimate for the work that you're proposing. And then I'll let you know if you can do it under health, safety, or of necessity. And if it's not one of those, then we'll look at them after 90% of the work is done. And it's clear that we're not going to need the contingency for any actual emergencies or situations that may arise. And then we may pay it. So sign the request, and you've already done the work, so we'll try to get you paid at the end if there's no other contingencies that come up that fit health, safety, or of necessity. Of necessity is things like if you find, tear a wall out and you see dry rot, that's of necessity. Or you see water damage or mold and you have to deal with that. You can't just cover it back up. Those are of necessity. If you get a red tag by the building inspector and you have to redo something because of that red tag, that's of necessity. So anyway, come on, people. Call in 888-627-6008. Toll free. Be part of the show. Shows are much more interesting when we have participation. So we'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Hey, we're back with you. Call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free to be part of the program. We enjoy hearing from our audience. We're talking over the homeowner contractor agreement that HUD provides, recommends. And we were down to item number 13, correction of deficiencies. So the contractor must correct promptly any work by himself or the subcontractors found to be defective or in non-compliance with the terms of the contract. Warranty. The contractor will provide a one-year warranty on all labor and materials used to rehabilitate the property. So if you don't have this signed, then you don't have a one-year warranty, possibly. Okay. It's a 10-year warranty on structural issues. So if you're doing a room addition and the structure fails, you have a 10-year warranty on that. Anyway, the warranty must extend 1 year from the date of the completion of the contract or longer if prescribed by law unless otherwise specified by other terms of this contract. Disputes will be resolved through the construction industry arbitration rules and the American Arbitration Association. And then the last one, termination. If the owner fails to make a payment under the terms of this agreement, through no fault of the contractor may, upon 10 working days notice to the owner, and if not satisfied, terminate this agreement. The owner will be responsible for paying the contractor for all work completed. If the contractor fails or neglects to carry out the terms of that contract, the owner then, after 10 working days, written notice to the contractor may terminate this agreement. The owner may finish the job by whatever reasonable method the owner deems expedient. If the cost of completion exceeds the contract balance, the difference as well as reasonable attorney fees, if necessary, will be paid to the owner by the contractor. Okay. All right. Then the last thing we don't go over the next item very often unless it is a self-help project. But HUD has a recommended self-help agreement, but this can be a touchy situation. Most lenders will shy away from or outright refuse to do self-help projects, but some of them will do it provided the borrower is a licensed contractor in a state where the project is located, and they must attest to the following. So now we've got a contractor who's buying a house, and he knows that he's going to, you know, save some money if he does it himself. The issue that the consultant has when you're building your own bid on this project is that you have to build profit and overhead into the project. Whether or not it's a self-help makes no difference. That means that you're going to put 20%, 10% profit, 10% overhead on each item. That includes labor and materials. Okay. But the contractor, homeowner has to say, sign a form that says, I hereby certify that I have the time, skills, the tools, and resolve to complete all items identified in the work write-up to be completed by me in a professional and timely manner. The quality of the workmanship and materials must be at or above those specified in the work write-up. So your consultants that are not specifying a quality or a grade on your materials, you're making a mistake. You might want to start doing that. No, you should start doing that. Should the quality of the work or the materials be unacceptable to the HUD-approved fee inspector or the inspector for the city, state, or county, I agree that the work will be redone and the materials replaced at my own expense. I further agree that I have, on my own, reviewed the work write-up document and cost estimate, that I have contacted various contractors and or subcontractors for those portions of the rehab work that are necessary to let out for contract. I have personally made an investigation of my selected contractor's workmanship, capacity to complete my job in a timely manner, and have on my own selected this contractor or subcontractors to complete the rehab of this project. I understand that if my contractor's price is increased over and above its initial approved amount, such increases will not be covered by executed and approved change orders. So the funding from the contingency amount. I have funds necessary to pay the contractor and complete the job in that event. So typically, if a plumber gives you a bid of $30,000, you're going to put 10%, which is $33,000, at least 10% on materials, 10% on labor for materials and labor. So he's got 20% on there. So if his bid was $30,000, it's really going to be $36,000. And if you thought you were going to save that in this project, you will only realize it upon completion of the project. And the reason is, if you flake out in any way and the lender has to call the inspector and say, find another contractor and finish this job, we have to have enough money in labor and materials for a bona fide, hands-off contractor to come in and finish that job. All right, if we don't, then the job is just not going to be finished because we didn't put enough money into it. If it's all being done by subcontractors, then there is enough money to be finished, to finish the job with those subcontractors. Okay, this self-help agreement also says, I further agree that I will furnish such excess funds directly to the lender to be placed in the contingency reserve for my use. I agree these funds will remain irrevocably committed to the project and may not be withdrawn for any other purposes. Upon the completion of the project, any funds remaining in the contingency reserve account will be returned to me if I place them into the account. That's important because that happens anyway, whether you're a self-help or not. If you've got the cash on the side and can put the contingency reserve up in cash or check, but if you're putting it up to cover your contingency, you can get it back at the end if it's not used. I further certify that I will complete this job within the contract period as set forth in the rehab loan agreement. I understand that for all payments, a 10% holdback or retainage will be withheld and be returned after the final completion, after the lender determines that there are no liens placed on the property. I further certify that I will provide paid receipts and lien waivers for specific identifiable items when requested by the lender. So I would just get a lien waiver for each subcontractor, and when you pay them off, they sign a lien waiver. If you're making a partial payment, have them do a partial payment lien waiver. I can only request a draw inspection for the actual cost of construction, and that any savings can be used to make further improvements to the property. I further certify that no escrowed funds will be used to pay for materials stored on site or any other location. Now, that's a little different than the guideline says, except for self-help. So they're making it a little hard on a self-help person here, because typically I can pay for kitchen cabinets and finished flooring once it's stored on the site, though some lenders aren't. Some lenders are not letting us get that payment just because it's stored, though, even though it says in the guideline you can. This guideline says that self-help, there's no escrowed funds will be used to pay for materials stored on the site. And that's because you're a contractor. And if you've got materials sitting there, they get paid for, and then you go install them in your other project, there's more likelihood you might do that than there would be for a standard borrower. Here the next little sign says, except for purchase orders for kitchen, bath, cabinetry, and finished flooring. So you still can get that money dispersed if you have a contract for a delivery of cabinets at a later date. They can put some money down on that for you, for the materials. Anyway, agreement, I will secure a written and approved change order prior to the change. In other words, don't make changes on your own. You have to run them by the lender slash inspector before it's done in all cases. So back to the self-help agreement. I will secure all required permits prior to the construction and hold HUD and the lender harmless of all actions by myself and my contractors, subcontractors, and suppliers. Also, understand that all payments are subject to inspection and approval by the HUD-approved fee inspector. I agree to obtain a hazard insurance policy to insure against fire, wind, storm, hail, and other extended coverage known as a builder's risk policy or a rental dwelling insurance policy in the amount equal to or greater than the total of all financing sources, and have provided or will provide a copy of those insurance policies. Okay. They also will do a certificate of insurance for any subcontractors for workers' compensation. All right. There's a few more items on this thing. It's a long contract. I now wish to proceed with the rehab project on my own as described above. Then they have a borrower's identity of interest that we go over with our clients. We want to know that they're not the realtor. If they are, they just have to disclaim it. They have to disclose it. Then there's a consultant certification. And that's about it as far as the contracts that are required. So, but anyway, I want to thank you all for being with us today. We appreciate it. Join us next week, Sunday, between 1 and 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as we broadcast from our Las Vegas, Nevada offices. This broadcast is coming directly from Las Vegas, Nevada. We look forward to seeing you next time. Please bring your questions and plan on calling into the program. It's much more fun for us, and we can really get some stimulating talks when we do that. So thank you for joining us. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you love? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.